Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
I am your host, M.A. Man, sorry for the late start today, and I know hopefully my guest didn't decide to say, hey, this guy ain't got it together, so I'm going to bail out on him, but hopefully he's hanging in there, and we're going to get him up here real soon. But folks, you know that there's some serious things that we need to talk about, some serious things that we need to iron out and get out here on the table as parents of athletes, because what we do in this space is vitally important to the success of our children. Now, notice what I just said. I said what we do in this space is vitally important to the success of our children. I want to add something into that. I want to add something else to that. Because what I want to add to that is what I really and truly what I need you to hear is what we fail to do in this space is vitally important to the success of our children, just as easy as what we do. Now, I know many of you are doing that great sports parent thing, and you're constantly driving your child around, and you're providing the team snacks, and some of you have taken on responsibility of the team mom or the team dad. I understand that. I got that. All those pieces are connected. Those pieces are awesome efforts on your part. But now, this is what I want you to hear. This is what I want you to know. Stuff that we talk about here, stuff that we bring to the table here, stuff that we unpack here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network is stuff that you really want to add to your plate. You know, it don't make no sense to go to a restaurant. You order a 7-course meal, but you only get 3 courses. You go to a restaurant, you order a 7-course meal, but you only get through 3 courses. I'm just saying, you get to those 3 courses because of what? Because the waiter don't bring out your full, every entree that's in that 7-course meal. He brings out the first 3 just to see what you're going to do. And sometimes we get to the point where we say, oh, yeah, we full. I'm good. And then y'all ready to leave. But you just ordered a 7-course meal. You got through 3 courses. What happened to the other 3 courses? You put them on the back burner or they're not important? What's going on? Help me understand that. That's what we do here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network, folks. We try to make sure that if you order that 7-course meal, you're getting all 7 courses and some. That's why I put my book out earlier this year, You Don't Know What You Don't Know, the Sports Parents Guide, because of the simple fact that, you know, half the times we miss out on these pieces. And in a lot of and too many times is because we don't know. That's just the reality of it. We don't know. And some of us are too ashamed to say, well, I don't know. I didn't know that. Or we get to the point where, oh, yeah, I know. Because you don't want nobody to tell you nothing about what's going on with your child. You know, you got all these underlying issues that I don't know where they came from, where they stem from. But we need to go ahead and put them on the back burner. Because the simple fact that anything that anybody serves to you here from the Parents Coach and Parents Network, folks, is here for the purpose of helping you move forward. We're here to guide you, assist you, mentor you, and educate you in all aspects of sports, especially in the college recruiting aspect. So on that note, folks, I say what I say. I mean what I mean. Our motto here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network is help us help you. That ain't said just for fun. That ain't said just as a catchphrase. That ain't said something just to get your attention. That says what we're all about. That says reality. Well, folks, you know, I've been talking for a little bit. And I had a late start today, and I know I don't want to leave my guests on hold too much longer. But, you know, we don't start our show here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network without my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and his little piece that he entitled The College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
You know what Keith just said. He said he's making smart, cool. Hey, that's why I got to play that each and every time we're here on live, Parents Coaching Parents Network, doing our thing, because we got to hear those words. Well, my man, Mr. Keith Wright, graduate of the University of Harvard, played basketball up there for all 4 seasons. He was there attending Harvard. I believe he played for Coach Tommy Haymaker. I think that's his name. And Keith is still out there playing ball. He's playing overseas now. Had a little shot in the D-League. Did a couple things where I can't recall which teams he was with, but I know he was in and out for a minute, and then he just figured, hey, I'm going back overseas. But at the end of the day, he got that degree from the University of Harvard. And I didn't know he had any rap in him, because I always thought Keith was one of those little quiet guys coming up. But, hey, he did that piece for us some years ago. Enough said on all that. Folks, we got a conversation today for you again, I say. This conversation, I think it's going to be something slightly different, because normally we stay away from this particular sport. And I've only stayed away from it because I know very little about it. But that's why I had to reach out to someone else that's in the game, that's been around for a minute. But, you know, I'm going to let him tell us how long he's been in this game, in this space, working with parents, and the sport that he is an advocate, a big advocate for. So without further ado, Mr. Buford, are you still out there with us? Coach, you still with us? So, hold on a second, Coach. I got to bring you in. Are you out there, Coach?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, folks. We have Coach Mobley. Did I pronounce that last name correctly, sir?
Yes, the name is Buford Mobley. I'm the founder of Scholarship for Soccer, and that is a business that is very similar to Michael's, in that my main goal is to educate parents of how to navigate the world of elite youth soccer. And just
go
a
ahead,
little bit
ahead,
about.
I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off.
Okay, just a little bit about my background. I was never a soccer player. Knew very little about soccer until my son was born, and he started playing when he was about 4 or 5. And, you know, of course, he started, as most kids do, at the recreation level, playing for the YMCA. And it turned out he was pretty good. You know, at that age, we were just putting him in different sports. He played T-ball, ran a little track, did a little competitive swimming. And he just naturally gravitated towards soccer, and he was pretty good at it. So he stopped playing everything else basically competitively. And when he was about 10 or 11 years old, we went to our first big tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, my kid was playing in his game. And I just happened to wander over to another field and saw kids about his age playing, and it looked like they were playing a totally different game. And,
wow.
You know, I thought to myself, well, why can't, you know, my son is generally the fastest on his team and the best on his team, but he should be playing with these guys. And so I went to the coach and was like, well, who are those guys? And he was like, oh, well, they play in League X, which is, you know, that's several levels above ours. And I asked him, I said, well, how do I get my son in that league? And he said, well, I don't really know. You have to know somebody. And I started asking around, and nobody knew. And so I just, at that point, I just made it a mission to find out for myself more about the sport of soccer. And, you know, of course, found out that there were several other different elite levels. And every parent I asked questions to, they didn't know. They just, you know, accepted what their league told them and, you know, drove their kid to practice and didn't ask questions. So,
wow.
You know, I asked a lot of questions and finally found out that there were other levels. And so I just made up a plan to get my son to that next level. And with talking with parents, I found out that, you know, 90% of parents have no idea what's going on. You know, you say in your show, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, that I found out there was a lot that parents don't know. So that's how my business started about 7 years ago is, you know, I found out that 90% of parents have no clue about elite soccer. So that's what caused me to go into business, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
And that's awesome. Awesome. And I'd like to, hopefully we can welcome you to the family of the Parents Coaching Parents Network, the affiliates of the Parents Coaching Parents Network, because, you know, that's what we're all about, finding these organizations out here that's working in the best interest of our children, hopefully bringing everybody to the table at some point in time, and just collectively, just try to start figuring out how could we start doing things to move the needle forward, you know, as far as being that advocate for our children. You know, we have this whole situation, and I know you may be familiar with it, and I want to see how it affects your sport, the sport of soccer, and elite soccer, especially if that's what you're talking about. How does it affect elite soccer when we start talking about things such as the name, image, and likeness, because believe it or not, soccer is a pretty big game out there just as well. You know, globally, soccer is bigger than what we look at here as basketball and American football. Soccer is the biggest global game that I know of. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, soccer is the number one global sport.
I thought so. Thought so. So, you know, you said you got involved because your child stood out, and that's where most of us end up gravitating towards. But at the same time, you realized that there were other parents out there that didn't know how to guide their children. And when I put that out there, you don't know what you don't know. That's actually the name of my book. You don't know what you don't know. The Sports Parent Guide, Sports Parents Guide. I brought that out this year. It went live on Amazon the same day that the president was inaugurated, and I've been rolling ever since. But I've been doing this thing here with the Parents Coach Parents Network since about 2007. And every time I run into a new organization, it's all about, you know, just trying to bring them into the fold and sharing what I know and helping them get their word out about what they got going on. So let's go back to what I initially said. I will start talking about this name, image, and likeness situation. How is that impacting children involved in soccer, especially in elite soccer?
Okay, well, it mainly affects college soccer, and unfortunately, soccer here, college soccer is not a revenue sport like football or basketball.
Gotcha.
They only offer partial scholarships, but what a lot of soccer players are doing with the name, image, and likeness is they are adding their name to elite soccer camps around the country.
Gotcha.
And some are starting their own and being able to be paid for it. It's spawning a little bit of entrepreneurship. You know, they have to be a little bit more creative than football or basketball players. You know, the big companies aren't going after college soccer stars because really nobody knows who they are unless, let's say, you know, intimately follow soccer. But a lot of the top kids are being creative and going to, you know, back to their hometown or back to their home club and putting on camps for kids, and of course now they can be paid for it. And you know, nobody's making big money, but you know, when you're in college and in soccer, it's very rare to get a full scholarship in soccer. You know, most scholarships in soccer are partial scholarships.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
You know, every little bit of that revenue helps, you know, with their education.
Well, you know, and I asked that question and I threw that out there because I can't help but to think about that young lady out of, oh man, where's she from? And I'm drawing a blank on her name also right now too. But the young 15-year-old that is playing on a professional team. Finally, I think she finally hit the field this year sometime within the last month or so. You know
yes.
what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. She plays for the Portland Thorns.
Okay. Now, see, I can see her at that age picking up an endorsement.
Yes. Well, she's already signed with Nike, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, she's at the professional level now, so she can get all the endorsements that she wants. For college players, it's still pretty limited. Maybe some of the top college players will start signing, you know, with Nike and Adidas. But, you know, in the college game, the coaches mainly control the contracts with the schools. So probably going to be a little hard for college players to break in with the big corporations.
But what I'm leaning toward, and let me know if I'm way off track. And if I'm off track, let me know. Hey, I'll stop right there because this is one area that is totally foreign to me as far as soccer is concerned. And I know the game of basketball. I know the game, how football is being manipulated and played, so on and so forth. But soccer is still a little foreign to me. But I guess the reason why I brought that up and I started talking about this elite soccer, because you have athletes that may be playing that still in high school but are able to play at an elite level. Now, it's a very rare thing, and I have to go back and think about my boy Freddie Adu out of D.C. some years ago. You know, you think about Freddie. Freddie started when he was about, what, 14?
Yes.
Yeah, he went pro. Freddie started when he was about 14, and he went pro back then. But then again, I still say Freddie probably was about 21, 22, but they say he was 14. Freddie has some skills that to this day I'm still questioned by, you know, how old was he really? But yeah, he was, you know, you have an elite high school kid that decides he's going to try his hand at or give a shot at, you know, once he leaves high school, try to step into the professional ranks.
Yeah.
Do you think he or she may try to pursue an endorsement, especially if he's a really standout in the elite environment? Could you see that happening?
Well, soccer is a little different. If he's just, you know, if he or she is a truly elite player, they probably don't play for their school.
Gotcha.
They'll play
gotcha.
For their club gotcha. And go straight to the pros.
That's what I'm talking about.
The most the system
so
of soccer is different. You have these professional academies, and like all the American clubs that you see, like Atlanta United or Philadelphia Union, they have what's called residential academies where, you know, they'll recruit elite kids and they will move to Philadelphia, move to Atlanta or L.A. or wherever the team is. Dallas FC is a big one. And they will live there and, you know, usually go to high school at the academy. And,
gotcha.
You know, as soon as they graduate high school, they're soccer full time.
Gotcha. Now, see, that's something I didn't know. I didn't know soccer was at that level where you had these elite academies, where you had these, you know, where the child, you know, is relocating just to focus on his or her soccer career because he or she has already been identified as elite. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that should be something that may be considered. I don't know if they should do it in basketball or not, because you'll have a whole lot of strange things going on too.
Well, you have some of that going on in soccer, and that's the problem. It's a fine line between, you know, identifying an elite athlete and then, you know, the how should I say it, the charlatans coming in and taking advantage and exploiting kids.
And I agree with you 100%. That was one of the main reasons why I started the Parents Coaching Parents Network, because I wanted to make sure that parents understood their responsibility, their role, and their level of advocacy for our children. Because I seen the vultures out there. I seen them hovering around, you know, and you go into any given gym, and after you pass the one or two coaches that's coaching that team, you'll find about five or six other people following that team around and probably have no connection to or no relationship as far as being a sibling or mom, dad, or whatever. But they'll be following that team around, hovering over the kids, the whole works. I've watched it for a number of years and still watch it. But every time I see it, I want to educate the parents, okay, you need to be involved in this process. I don't know anything about it. And then that's when I start trying to educate them and bring them up to speed and tell them the value of them being involved. So you say you've been doing this
with
for about
soccer, you know, it's such a global game, you have to worry about the international vultures.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you know, I'll just use my son for an example. you know, my son is not an elite soccer player. Now, say he could be, and, you know, that's a whole nother subject for parents when, you know, what to do when you have a very talented athlete, but he doesn't have the desire to be, you know, a professional soccer player.
Okay.
You know, he has the ability, but, you know, he doesn't want to make the commitment, and, you know, he doesn't live, eat, and breathe soccer. He has other interests, which, in my opinion, is good. But, you know, having said that, you know, I get more inquiries about my son from England and Europe than I do in America.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Oh, okay, Coach, I want you to hold right there. Hold that thought right there. We're going to step away for a hot second. We're going to wet your whistle if that's what you need to do. Get you a nice cool cup of Kool-Aid or lemonade or iced tea or whatever you're sipping on right now. And then we're going to step away for a hot second, come right back, and we're going to finish this conversation here on the Parents Club, the Parents Network. Folks, if you want to join in on this conversation, when we come back off this break, 516-453-9932. I'll give you that number again, 516-453-9932. We'll be right back, folks.
I need it!
Hey, Sean! Let's go showdown!
Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, and elevate parents, coaching parents, know the game.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
How you doing, Mr. Scott? This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call at your...
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are pretty phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School...
You are listening to the Business Podcast, featuring today's most successful entrepreneurs and business leaders.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
Are you ready?
Hey, welcome to the Parents Culture Parents Network. I'm your host, Michael H. Scott. And here this evening, we're going to talk about the recruiting aspect of all the process. What is it in the process? What is it that you need to know as a parent? What is it that you want to know as a parent? Should you be involved in the recruiting process? Do you think that that's something that you really and truly should be a part of? I would tell you yes. Parents, we must be the advocates for our children. We must be that frontline person for our children. In other words, I'm telling you, parents, you have to be your child's very first agent in the college recruiting process. So if you're interested, hey, let me know.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
guy.
Athletes is a scholarship mentor. And elevate
parents, coaching parents.
Know the game.
Hey, folks, we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We've been talking with Coach Mobley. And, folks, hey, he's been bringing some soccer knowledge to us that, hey, I'm telling you, I've been taking notes. It's been blowing my mind because of the simple fact that I wasn't aware, you know, that they deal with some of the same things that some of the other sports are dealing with. But he brought up something just before the break that, folks, we got to hear some more about this because he's talking about, you know how I talk about those vultures that's out there that have everything in interest other than the best interest of the child. You know, they trying to seal that deal and get that next contract for their own personal benefit. But he brought up something from an international level, and we got to hear some more about this. So if you want to join in on this conversation, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. I'm going to slow it down. 516-453-9932. Join this conversation today. Hey, jump in, ask the coach some questions, and quite sure he'll be able to share some information with you that you probably haven't heard before because we don't know what we don't know, but oftentimes we think we know. Coach, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Just before the break, you started opening up that can of worms. I seen you insert that can open. You started turning that handle because you dropped some things on us pertaining to international interference. Give us some more details on that. Give us some insight on how all that goes about. And what's the goal of somebody trying to do something like that?
Okay, well, soccer in the United States is pretty much different than soccer all over the world in the way that it's organized. You know, over in Europe and, you know, in the big leagues, they have the, you know, every team, every club like a Manchester United or Barcelona has an academy, and everybody that plays for them comes up through that academy. So, you know, when kids are 5-6 years old and they live in and around Barcelona, Spain, they play for Barcelona, everybody. And
gotcha.
And so all the kids come up through the academy, and, you know, they have teams at every level, at the youth level, you know, 9, 10, through the teenage years, and then when you get to be college age, they have the under 23s, and then they have what's called the first team. That's the pro team that you see on television.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the U.S., it doesn't really work that way. But you know, when your kid gets to be in the teenage years, 13 to 14, and you know, you as a parent are posting, you know, video of your kid on Facebook or what have you. Well, international scouts, you know, they look at social media and, you know, they see a kid that has potential or a kid that they think that their parents think have potential, and they start contacting. Well, you know, because everybody in the U.S., you know, a lot of parents, their kids have the dream of, you know, following Christian Pulisic. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's like the biggest U.S. star right now. And
okay,
he went over to Germany when he was 16 to play. So, you know, now that's the hot thing in soccer is everybody wants to go to Europe, you know, as a teenager and play for one of the big clubs over there. So you have all these organizations or, you know, it could be individuals. They'll shoot you an email and say, hey, you know, we, you know, basically wanting to be your kid's agent. You know, we've got connections with so-and-so club in Germany, and, you know, we can get your kid, you know, at the academy in Germany or at the academy in England or in Spain or, you know, France, wherever. And so, you know, just like I would equate it somewhat to AAU basketball, you know, it's a loosely regulated world out there. And,
exactly.
Of course, we're being international. So, there are some, you know, like everything else, there are some legitimate scouts, and then there are some people who are just out there trying to make a buck. And in the international world of soccer, let's say you're a kid growing up in England and you're in the academy, you know, those kids, all they ever want to do is play professional ball. Well, you know, they may play up until they're 16 and 17, and then Manchester City says, well, we can't use you. And so they're just done. And so it's a pretty cutthroat world. And, you know, kids really need advocates to be able to get through it, because there are so many people out there that will, you know, tell you the world and say, you know, your kid is, you know, greatest kid we've seen. And they go over to Europe and don't make it, and they're just left high and dry. So, you know, it's a brave new world out there. And for soccer's different than basketball and football in that, you know, most kids, when they dream of going pro, they dream of going to play in England or play in France or play in Spain. They, you know, that's considered the NFL or the NBA of soccer. MLS in America is professional soccer, but most kids would consider that second level league. They consider that like the NBA G League. So, you know, the international vultures are out there hot and heavy.
Okay.
But it's just the difference in the way that soccer's organized than football or basketball. You know, the professional leagues overseas don't have any relation with the colleges here.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, the MLS usually drafts college players. The professional leagues usually try to get kids out of academies here. You know, like the Weston McKinney's and the Josh Sargent's. You know, they go straight from an academy here to European leagues. They generally don't come out of college.
Okay.
In soccer, really, you it's like a dual path. It's like when you're, you know, my son's age, you either choose to go the college route, and that's mainly to get your education. And if your main goal is to play soccer, you usually try to go the academy route.
Okay.
So it's a totally different mindset going to college as a soccer player than it is as a football player or basketball player.
You know, I really and truly didn't know that. Really and truly didn't know that. Now let's touch on you know, something that you have been doing for a number of years, because we touched on all the things around this. And you spoke on it briefly at the beginning, but we haven't really gotten to any of the nuts and bolts of it, and that is the scholarship piece. You know, how do high school kids or even elite players get viewed as far as scholarship? What's the scholarship process for a soccer player?
Okay, well, it's similar to a football player or basketball player, but the thing is, soccer is not a revenue sport in college, so scholarships are limited. For Division I players, the boy a men's soccer team only gets 10 full scholarships for the whole team. A women's soccer team gets 14 scholarships. So 98% of college soccer players go to school on a partial athletic scholarship.
Okay.
It's very rare to get a full ride, and on the men's side, it's almost non-existent. On the women's side, with 14 college soccer rosters, are usually about 28 kids. So on the women's side, you may have three or four on a full ride, but mainly it's, you know, you're going for a partial scholarship. You know, a half scholarship is considered to be pretty good. And then usually if a player's good enough, the university can find some merit money if their grades are good, which goes back to another thing for soccer players. You know, the NCAA minimums like they have in football really don't apply. If you're going to try to play soccer in college, you should have at minimum a 3.0 GPA.
Okay.
You know, if you're talking about just barely meeting the requirements of a school, you're probably not going to get scholarship money.
So the NCAA model of 2.3 or take a knee doesn't apply when we're talking about soccer. That's what you're telling me?
No, if you got a 2.3, probably the best route is to go junior college and for 2 years and then transfer after your sophomore year.
Okay.
But
okay. Yeah, I know kids getting into Division I programs with a 2.3 and getting into a Division I program with a 2.3, and you know, because the school want them that bad, you know, that's what that really boiled down to. You know, the school want them that bad.
You know, one thing parents need to realize: at the college level, revenue drives everything.
Exactly. And I've said that to parents time in and time out. You know, this thing at college sports, if you're talking about the two major revenue sports, which is football and basketball, American football and basketball, folks, the two major revenue sports, this is a business. It is nothing personally done at this level. It's strictly business. And it's all about business.
It's strictly business in soccer as well, but the leverage goes toward the school in soccer as opposed to the athlete in football. You know, just to give you an example, if you got an elite soccer player, okay, they can do some things for your school, but having the most elite soccer player is not going to put 80,000 people in the stands paying, you know, $20 a ticket and, you know, all the booster revenue. You know, as an example, I'm an alumni of Clemson University. And,
all right.
You know,
okay.
Football is king there.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, they have 80,000 people every weekend. Well, Clemson also has won the national championship in soccer a couple of times recently. Got an excellent soccer program, usually top 10 in the nation. Well, you know, in order to play soccer at Clemson, first of all, you pretty much have to be on the academy level. You know, my son, you know, goes through high school and plays soccer. Physically, he has the talent to play at Clemson, but he hasn't been playing. You know, Clemson recruits guys from they you know, I live in Raleigh, right outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, and one guy from our club is on Clemson's team. He's their starting goalkeeper. Well, he's played in the academy system all his life. And to his sophomore year in high school, he went to Atlanta United's Academy. He moved to Atlanta and lived there and played for them, and then came back to our club and played professionally on an amateur basis, but he played on a professional team for 1 year after high school. And then now he's at Clemson. So, you know, that's the kind of soccer player they recruit on that level. And, they don't even look at kids.
Help me understand something real quick, Coach. You said he played professionally. Was he compensated for his play?
Well, no. Let me explain that. He played on our professional team. See, soccer is different. At the club level, my son plays for a club. It's called North Carolina Football Club.
Gotcha.
We have a team that plays in the United States Soccer League, which is the level right below MLS, and he played for that team, but he signed an amateur contract. So
gotcha.
Although he played for the team, he received no compensation.
Okay.
He took a gap year after high school.
But in all actuality, it was at a professional level.
Yes, it was on our club's professional team. See, the soccer, you know, I mentioned earlier you have club level and school level. Well, you know, my son plays club and school soccer. He plays for his high school, and he also plays for North Carolina FC and club. So you can play for our club from 5 years old all the way up to 30. So we have youth level, and we have two professional teams on our club as well.
Got it.
So you
got
can
it.
Go all the way through to the professional level with our club. So he played for the professional team on an amateur basis, but decided that he wanted to go to college. So he is playing at Clemson now, but. All of the players at a level at Clemson or UVA where your son went, they just won a national championship a couple of years ago. I believe it was last year, year before. And all the players on their soccer teams come from the academy level. And so you really have to be dedicated to soccer because you think about it as a parent, you sent your son off to an academy to live for 2 years, whatever, to play soccer, and when he goes to college, he may not get a full ride. Now, most of the soccer players at that level are going to have good enough grades to where the university will find academic money for them. But, Clemson's not going to find academic money for a 2.5 student. You know, University of Virginia certainly isn't. So, if you're going to play soccer on the college level, you better have a minimum of 3.0 and preferably a 3.5 or above.
All right. Folks, hey, Coach has been laying it out for us. Coach Mobley has been laying it out for us, folks, and hopefully he has said some things this afternoon that you were unaware of, or you may still have some questions about. Coach, I need you to give us, as we get down to these last few minutes, I didn't realize time has flew so fast, but as we get down to these last few minutes or so, give us three tips that you want to leave with our parents.
Okay, well, the first thing, this applies across sports, and we talk a lot about it as parents, and I've experienced this personally, is it's great to advocate for your child and to push and encourage your child, but you really have to know you know, if your child is going to make it to that college level or above, the first thing you have to consider is, do they really want it? Because they're, you know, there's having athletic talent, and at the college level, everybody's talented athletically. But, you know, you've got your kid, especially D1 level, like your son played, your kid really has to love basketball, football, soccer, whatever sport it is, to get up at 6 o'clock, go to practice, and then have the discipline to go to class after that, you know, eat lunch, get a little bit of studying in, go back to practice,
uh-huh.
You know, go to study hall and have meetings. So, you know, you have to be sure that your kid wants it and not that, you know, you can't want it more than your kid does. So that's
exactly.
The first thing, and that's across the board. Okay, number two, as it pertains to soccer, if your kid wants to play in college, take care of academics first. Academics is the best ticket to a soccer scholarship. You know, we talked about it in football and basketball being revenue sports and, you know, colleges really wanting your kid. Well, they want your kid in soccer too, but soccer is not a revenue sport. The kid is not, the university is not going to get a whole lot of publicity from your kid going to that school. So, you know, they want to make sure that you are a true representative of the school. So you got to have the whole package to get soccer money. You got to be academic. You got to have the extracurricular activities, and you have to be a great soccer player. So you have to have the total package if you're looking at getting any money in soccer.
Got it.
The third tip I would say is, as far as soccer and this probably applies to all sports, but there are so many ups and downs in the journey, and there's so many things that can happen. Is as parents, I would caution parents to just try and simply enjoy watching their kid play, because it's going to come to an end at some point. You know, they may make it in college. There's not the big market here for pro soccer that there is, you know, around the world. And, you know, 1% of college soccer players will ever play pro. And it's probably that way in football and basketball as well. Not everybody's going to go pro. So,
yes.
You know, I tell parents just to enjoy the process. Because it is going to end at some point, and, you know, your kids, you know, hopefully you raise your kids so that when that journey does end, they can go pursue their dreams in other areas of their life. So just back and enjoy it, you know, be there for their games, rain or shine, because in the end, what they'll remember is when it was pouring down rain and 35 degrees out there. You know, you were in the stands soaking wet. You know, that's what they're going to remember 20 years down the road.
That's true. So true. How can folks reach you, Coach, if they want to reach out to you later on and get some more of those tips or just some more great insight from you?
Okay, the best place, by email, they can reach me at info@thesoccerparentlifestyle.com. And you know, they can join my Facebook group is the main place where all this happens, and that's the Soccer Parent Lifestyle. If you look us up on Facebook and join the Facebook group, we have a very active and engaged group, and probably have 40 people post every day, and we have some great discussions. And
awesome.
College coaches are in the group, a couple of professional players, a lot of former women's professional players. So, you know, we have a lot of knowledgeable people. You know, I'm just a soccer dad. But, you know, we've got people who've been playing soccer all their lives and are currently involved in the college and professional game. So just come and join us and you know, advocate for your kids.
All right. All right. Hey, we appreciate you joining us this afternoon here on the Parents Coach, the Parents Network Coach, and know that you are welcome back at any time. You got some updates that come out in soccer that you want to share with us here. Hey, I mean, nothing, just shoot me a quick email or whatever and let us know that that you got some information you want to share with us, and we'd be more than happy to bring you up and hey, let you say what you want to say. Now, quick question. Do you have a current podcast that you do, that you share information on? Have you thought about
it? No, I don't. It's been on the list like a lot of things. I've just never started one. But if I do, you'll be the first person to know.
Okay. Well, hey, we got some opening spots here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network, and we'll talk about that a little bit offline. And maybe you can plug in one day throughout the week that you want to come on and just share some information with folks.
Okay. It sounds like a winner.
We'll talk a little bit about it. I think I got your number up here, so I'll be shooting you a text message so that you have my number so we can stay in touch.
Okay.
All right, Coach. Hey, great talking to you today. Folks, that's Coach Mobley. Soccer Parents Lifestyle. The Soccer Parents Lifestyle. Now, come on now. And you heard all the information that he had to share with him. I'm quite sure, just based upon what I listened to today, I know he had more that he could have shared with us, and definitely probably will later on in life. Go ahead up there on the Facebook site and check out the Soccer Parents Lifestyle. That's their site. Or if you need to shoot him a quick email, he said you can reach him at info@thesoccerparentslifestyle.com, thesoccerparentslifestyle.com. Hey, folks, this has been M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And, hey, it's been fun. It's been real fun. And until next Sunday when we do this thing again, hey, you have a great and safe week. And please, please, please keep our baby safe. All right? We out of here. You have a great one.